In a shock move, the head of the biggest royal commission in New Zealand history is stepping down after 18 months in the role. Sirinand Satyanand has chaired the inquiry into historical abuse in care since its establishment, but says he's leaving the job in November because the workload has increased markedly. He'll now take up a four-year role as Chancellor of Te Whare Wānanga o Waikato, or Waikato University. Our reporter Katie Scotcher and her cameraman Nick Monroe sat down with Sirinand in Hamilton this morning before his departure was made public.
Well, you have been the chair of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Historical Abuse and Care since it was established last February, and now you're leaving. Can you explain your departure?
Yes, it is a change, but there's a context to it. The setup phase has been intensive. It's taken a long time. And the implementation phase that is about to begin is going to take much longer than anyone predicted. So I've taken the opportunity at the age of 75, knowing that the survivors are being cared for, knowing that I have good colleagues, knowing that there is a good system in place. This is a sensible opportunity for the chairship of the Royal Commission to change. And the Minister's accepted that. I've had a number of discussions with her, and it seems sensible that I've taken responsibility for the build-up, for the intensity involved with survivor advisory groups and all the things, the electronic things that have been needed to ensure security for survivors. That is now all in place. We've got our procedural hearing in a couple of weeks' time, our contextual hearing at the end of October, and at that time the government will have had an opportunity to appoint a new chairperson, and I'll step down.
So effectively the workload that comes with being the chair of this commission, which you've previously described as being New Zealand's biggest royal commission, just got too much for you?
Well, it's substantial. Mm. Too much is a judgment for someone else, but I think that it is a substantial workload. I'd actually thought, in a ballpark way, as we started, and had reason to understand, this is a three-week, three-day-a-week, three-week-a-month, and done within 3 years kind of role. I don't think there's been any week since the beginning of last year where I've had 3 days. It's usually been four, and most often five, and it has been a significant piece of effort.
When did you decide that you were going to step down as chair?
Earlier in this year, I had the spectre of the onset of my 75th birthday, the fact that things were taking some considerable time. I had discussions with a few colleagues. I had discussions with the minister, with whom I've had good relations throughout. And the idea was accepted, and it simply became then a matter of timing.
Was it your decision to leave the inquiry?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. And I made my position clear, and the position was accepted by the minister and the government officials and my commissioner colleagues, who were, you know, obviously surprised and concerned, but they have accepted it.
Was there any pressure from inside your team to leave the inquiry?
No, there wasn't. It was my initiative and my decision.
Any pressure from your fellow commissioners that you've been working with?
Not at all.
No?
No.
Any pressure from the Department of Internal Affairs?
No. There is a proper distance between the Department of Internal Affairs and the Royal Commission. We have agreed upon and maintained an independence from the Department of Internal Affairs. There is a linkage, of course, to do with provision of finance, etc., and budgeting and so forth, but operationally, the Royal Commission is separate and independent.
So your decision to leave was entirely your own?
Yes, yes. Age, time and commitment. 75. This is taking a lot longer than anyone imagined. How can I effect change causing the least disturbance?
Do you think the Royal Commission of Inquiry is functioning well and has been since February last year?
Yes, it is. It's had a number of complexities as it's developed its capacity to do the work. For example, the creation of a separate computer system with appropriate security to ensure that information relating to survivors will be kept aside from any other organisation, including the government, etc. That's taken a long time to put into place. It's taken a long time to recruit the best people to do the job. We now have a legal team that would be the envy of any Royal Commission, a really high-level legal team. We have community advisors. There's a whole division led by a woman called Belinda Chin with extensions into the disabled Maori, Pacific, LGBTI communities, which is where many of the survivors are located. We have ambassadors who are helping to bring those people in the hard-to-reach community towards the Royal Commission to tell their accounts and to make sure that they are catered for in that regard. Well-being is another topic that we've had to work really hard on to make sure that people have a satisfying experience, because to talk about things that have been suppressed for many years involving physical and psychological abuse and neglect are often hard to bring up, hard to talk about, and when they've happened, people's well-being needs to be looked after. And we've spent time developing appropriate numbers of well-being people. Now, all these things to which I have made reference have taken their time to put in place. But I can say responsibly that the Royal Commission is functioning and that the position of survivors remains at the forefront of our operation.
There have been some survivors, though, who haven't been satisfied with the process so far.
Oh, yes, and that is so in any organisation that is doing something new. Survivors are people who were ignored for so many years, and finally the government reacted to the submissions that had been made. And survivors are not people who can be put into a one-size-fits-all basket. And of course there have been people, and it has been in the news, that people have had unfortunate experiences. But I can tell you that we have worked, we have taken on board what has happened, have worked out why it has happened, and if there has been a mistake or something wrong occur, there have been steps put in place to fix that.
That's Anand Satchanand, who's stepping down from chairing the Historical Abuse Inquiry, speaking to our reporter Katie Scotcher in Hamilton earlier today before that news went public.